Hello, grandkids, and welcome to the rebooted 768th episode of this podcast since Jeremy and I got 40 minutes into this number and the recorder decided to die on us. Nothing salvaged. Not cool, not fun. Hopefully, Mr. Calamita, we will have better luck this week. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine, Kevin. How about yourself?
I cannot argue at the current state of affairs. Just a couple of weeks from a vacation, which is going to be a lot of fun. In the meantime, one thing that I have found at least a modicum amount of fun in is the Maximum Male Models gimmick on SmackDown.
Wow, what a start this is. I'm going to swim right out and say it. I'm not into it at all. It's not hitting me anywhere. Go ahead, tell me what you like about it.
It's one of those ones that it's so over the top bad that right. I'm getting some enjoyment out of it. Max Dupree, that guy can try to sell just about anything. He is doing the best with the material. Like, there are some times where I think that you have just absolutely nothing to work with, and that guy's kind of decent at magicking up nothing, something out of nothing. And, you know, I'll get into the problems later. The fact that they're going with these obnoxious Masse and what's Mansoor's? Are they pronunciating that like French?
Mansoor, I think it is. Is it Mansoor now?
Yeah, okay. I thought that they were saying it a little bit different, but anywho, I'll move on. The start has been a little bit fun. And then I guess that is where things end. Like, what do you do with this?
There's nothing to do with it. I guess they can have a run in the tag team division for what that's worth. It disappoints me for how over LA Knight got it as a babyface in NXT 2.0. Just, I get the age thing. I understand the idea of making him a manager instead because of the age thing, and he can talk, but there's also the age thing with him actually being pushed as a star wrestler. But give him something better to work with than this. It's just, it's still Mansoor and Mace. It's a tag team division thing. It's just not gonna be a main event thing. And
yeah,
you know, knock me over with a feather. LA Knight won me over. I never thought that would happen, but it did. And it's like, it just feels like this is beneath it. I mean, yes, he can sell anything. Yes, he could try to make this work, and everyone involved is putting 100% into it. I'm not really sure about Mace, but Mansoor was just—he was totally into it. He was 100% in on this thing.
Yeah, he was really trying to runway there, especially this week with the tennis collection.
He was funny, you know. Once again, Max Dupree. You know, once again, the delivery is gonna be excellent, but there's not much to this. Well, once we get through these, you know, first few weeks of the model entrances, when they actually have to start wrestling, neither Mansoor or Mace have ever shown me much of anything. So it's just gonna be like, you know, we're coming off of know, this Usos run that's possibly coming an end soon, and they've had these matches with the Street Profits, and you can see the tag team division is going to maybe not exactly maintain that level of quality.
Yeah, there have been some real peaks and valleys in the WWE world of tag team wrestling. And we have kind of been on a peak recently. I know that they usually only involve a maximum of five teams. But, you know, nonetheless, those combinations end up having some really good matches. And it definitely seems like, I don't know if they're teasing a Street Profits breakup or if they're just really, if they're actually trying to push both of them at the same time, which is kind of interesting.
I don't see them pushing Dawkins at all in all of this, no. I mean, Dawkins took that pinfall to Omos when R-Truth was right there. You know, it's definitely, once they break up, it will be all about Montez Ford. But I could see them still getting that win at SummerSlam. Maybe they won't necessarily hold it long. I can certainly see the Viking Raiders having next after that. So we can get there. You know, they're pushing the Viking Raiders really hard right now. And, you know, to go all the way with them, it requires a babyface tag team first. So getting the titles on the Street Profits at SummerSlam, you know, gets you in that direction. The Street Profits aren't a total failure at having actually gotten to finally beating the Usos. But it doesn't have to be a long reign. And they are obviously, you know, very much in favor of pushing Montez Ford as a single. It's pretty apparent.
Yeah. I was just surprised the other week when I had kind of forgotten about the pinfall, honestly. And yeah, R-Truth should be taking that pinfall every time. I guess they were trying to make it look more impressive since Dawkins was the biggest guy in that matchup on the other side.
I guess so. I mean, yeah.
I mean,
Omos is another situation altogether of they have no idea what to do there.
Well, yeah, and I'm not sure that there's a whole lot more to go into other than they are not sure what to do. Like, they're like, we have this ginormous guy that we invested a lot in. We don't think he's good enough to hold up his end of the bargain in any match right now. So yeah. Montez Ford and Dawkins. I was a little surprised when, cause I think it was a couple of weeks ago now that Corey Graves mentioned how Dawkins had been, looking good for himself on commentary. And it was one of those rare, oh my gosh, like Corey Graves sending a positive message is, especially towards a baby face, is shocking. You know, usually he's the, I'm sending the Vince McMahon criticism guy. So the rare, positive review was a little surprising to me. So, you know, yeah, he is definitely not going to get as much of a push as Montez Ford in the long run, I don't think.
No, I
do like him a lot, though.
Dawkins is fine, and I know some people aren't going to want to hear this, but I don't necessarily see the Street Profits in any way as the Usos or the New Day. I think they do have a shelf life, and it's probably coming due.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting, like, they haven't done a whole lot to reinvent their gimmick at all. Obviously, New Day has gone through a lot of transformations since, I mean, It's been, like, what, probably like 7 years since they've been around or something crazy like that?
Yeah, no, it's going on eight. It's pretty wild.
Okay. Yeah, so, you know, they've been out there and they've kind of had their heel. Obviously, the beginning was a trash heel run that, it was supposed to be a baby face, but yeah, whatever, that whole convoluted beginning. But ever since then, they've kind of been able to switch between the two and work well enough. I guess the Street Profits can do something like that. I just don't see them doing that, though. Like, the Usos are... It'd almost be strange to break up twins, I suppose. Like, I don't know what... There isn't any rule against that.
Yeah.
You know, but...
I don't think you can break them up. I mean, Jay got his singles run for a little bit. Oh. But they were always going to be destined to get back together.
Yeah. Yeah, I never felt like they were going to... Even though they'll use the main event Jay Uso moniker for... however many years to come. I don't really see him separately in the main event on his own at some point. But yeah, Montez Ford, I can definitely see that happening. I think... I mean, would you say that New Day had that in Big E? Like...
There were a lot of times they could have done more with Big E, I think, but once again, the New Day's success, you know, speaks for itself, you know, all without breaking up, all without anyone turning heel, all without the group never going back heel, you know, I can't even count how many times they've been tag team champions, you know, obviously Kofi and Big E both have been WWE champion. You know, Woods got his King of the Ring moment that he really wanted, and yeah, it's, you know, nothing will ever compare to the one that they've had as a babyface team, and it's unfortunate that there's a very good chance that Big E will never wrestle again, and it's, you know, and at this point, yeah. I don't know if I ever necessarily see Kofi or Xavier getting another breakout singles run either.
No, I would be shocked if either of them comes up with a big singles run at this point. Kofi got his, obviously, his championship, and it's been a few years since then, but...
Yeah.
They flirted with maybe lighting that back up once, got a positive reaction, and still shut it back down.
Yeah, I mean, because Big E, they're gonna wait until... He's at a year since the initial injury before they give him they x-ray his neck again. And hopefully he still won't need surgery. With something like that, I'm not particularly bullish on him being able to return.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that was one of those updates that maybe slipped under the radar. Because he did tweet that recently that at least at this juncture, no surgery required.
Yeah, no surgery. I think he said he's gotten some range of motion back, but kind of buried in that is,
yeah,
from an injury like this, there's a very good chance that his career is over.
Yeah, that does not sound like a... It sounds like a positive place to be in as far as the recovery goes, but it does not sound like a positive place to be in to coming back to a job that requires that you occasionally land on your neck.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think that, this could be a unfortunate ending for Mr. E there. But yeah, I guess there was always a balance somewhat in New Day, you know, with the three of them. There always seemed to be, up until the point that Big E got the championship, I always felt like there were some lingering questions about, like, silly stuff like his seriousness and things of that nature.
Oh, no. That followed through his title reign. Let's not kid ourselves.
Well, yeah, no, I know, but I don't feel like that type of talk surrounds, a Montez Ford, I guess, to kind of keep that.
No, I mean, and sometimes the Street Profits humor gets corny, gets cheesy, and, you know, doesn't land with me or maybe some other people. So, but overall, you know, there's an incredible amount of athleticism and talent there, and there's definitely charisma there. I mean, if anything doesn't land, it's not necessarily his fault. It's, you know, there are writers.
Right.
So, but no. I mean, Montez is a single run is, you know, pretty much a guaranteed money.
Yeah, he's at least gonna get a couple of cracks at this, and they have definitely hinted as much on commentary at this juncture. To round back to Summer, because they're wrestling at SummerSlam, the Usos and the Street Profits.
Yes.
I because they did bring up the kind of maybe a little bit of a breakup stuff for the Street Profits, I'm with you. Like, it feels like the Street Profits really need this win to, like, cement themselves as at least one of the better tag teams in this time period.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, they've been great. Their title reigns, because if they had one, they had a Raw, at least one Raw title reign, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, it's not like they haven't done it before, but beating the Usos is, I'm going to say something that eluded them, but I'm not sure that that's a true statement. At least this incarnation of the Usos, they haven't been able to beat.
No, they have not beat them when the titles are on the line. No, and they got multiple shots, you know, last fall, and never did it. So yes, and then they're going back around again. So once again, we're going back around to opponents the Usos have already beat. So it's probably time to wrap this thing up and, you know, give the Bloodline their a defeat. I mean not the grand the big defeat yet, because I don't foresee Brock Lesnar winning the title.
Oh, correct.
But I also don't know if I see Brock Lesnar lose. That's a whole weird bit here. I mean, I understand why the situation that they're in. They get a SummerSlam.
I guess let's get into it then. There's not much more to say about the tag team scene.
There's not.
That is a really strange predicament to be in.
Because you can't have Brock lose multiple times in a row and, you know, lose as much as he's lost since he came back last year. He's already got the, you know, this was supposed to be finished. I was looking forward to seeing Brock Lesnar wrestle other people on the damn roster.
Yeah, it was going to be nice. Unfortunately, injuries and mostly injuries have told them to buzz off, and that you need to run this. I mean,
now here is the thing, and I think I've brought this up before. I think, man, was Randy Orton and Roman Reigns not going to necessarily light the world on fire at SummerSlam either.
Yeah, I'm not sure that neither of the matches was going to be a bad one.
But
Orton was such, I guess, maybe. I guess Lesnar, to me, has a little bit more of a chance of pulling off a win because of the things that you're talking about. So Orton might have been a little more predictable of a finish.
Yeah, it definitely would have been a predictable finish. Because once again, we have this Drew McIntyre match. Like, and it's been telegraphed for months and months that Drew's getting this match at Clash at the Castle. And I guess he's gonna have another match with Sheamus to get it probably at SummerSlam. Which, fine, I enjoy Sheamus Drew McIntyre matches. I'll watch another one. but once again, it seems just so. It's just been so predictable from the start that this is, you know, foregone conclusion that Roman versus Drew was going to be that match in that building on that night or afternoon if you're watching it live in America.
yeah,
that nothing else was going to matter. I mean, they weren't going to run, even if Cody Rhodes was healthy, they weren't going to run Cody at SummerSlam, and they probably should have. To be honest, they probably should have.
Oh.
This is how they shot themselves in the foot with this undisputed champion nonsense.
I still don't get how the people writing the contracts, especially on the WWE side, didn't go, "Hey, put in some type of extenuating circumstances clause," or B, just go, "Hey, we know we're a little short-handed right now, so do you think you can put off this whole not being here as much, you know, say 6 months?"
Yeah, no. but once again, it never should have happened. The Undisputed Championship debacle never should have happened in the first place.
No.
Roman and Brock at WrestleMania, with the story they were telling already since dating back to last SummerSlam, that was enough. It was enough. Two other people could have wrestled. And you know what? I had talked myself into being okay with it, because then the WWE Championship match would have likely have been, you know, considerably down on the card. But the aftermath of it has just been a disaster. And yes, it probably would have ended up on, like, Seth Rollins. And maybe Cody Rhodes would have already been WWE Champion. You know, coming out of all that. But at least there would still be a WWE Champion. So we don't have this mess that, well, we've only got one unified champion now, and his dance card is full for the next 3 months, and he's got to get to this match with Drew McIntyre. So we don't have anything else for. We got to bring Brock back now. We got to figure out a way for Brock to lose this match, but not have his heat killed. We've got Theory literally running around the ring with his briefcase. But if he shows up at SummerSlam and fails, he's dead in the water. And, well, to many fans, he's already dead in the water. But to Vince McMahon, he's the next big thing.
Yep, he is the literal money in the bank.
Yes, he is. And so I don't foresee him actually cashing in.
I'm with you. As much as his Theory is threatened to do it, and it does make a lot of logical sense for him to challenge for it. He keeps on going past his own match, though, and I feel like maybe something goes on in his match that deters him from going after the championship later in the night.
Yeah, I think. There's a very good chance of that.
So, there are ways to get Theory out of his... Well, and how many people haven't really pulled through on their predictions anyway? Especially when you're a heel. Like, you're allowed to sell the self...
This needs to cook a while. Maybe there's a small chance Theory can get actually over as a heel instead of having the go away heat, but they're gonna need to cook with that for a while, and you know they're gonna need to take up as much of that of that year as they possibly can.
Yeah, I think they Not that they can work it the way they did with Riddle per se, but they tried to make a big deal out of Riddle to start with. The whole RK Bro thing has really positioned him way better. I don't think an RK Bro situation is just going to drop into, well, Theory's lap, honestly.
Well, maybe if Seth Rollins takes him under his wing, maybe they could do something with that.
Oh. Didn't they already try to do that once a few years back?
I don't think Theory ever ended up with Seth.
Okay.
Did he?
I don't know. I'm not sure that that would be anywhere necessarily.
Because I know Theory ended up with Zelina Vega.
Yeah.
And Andrade who was the other guy? It wasn't Humberto. Angel Garza. Yeah.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because they had to do that because that's right. That's right. Andrade got hurt or sick right before WrestleMania, so they had to do a really bad substitution. That was a Street Profits Raw title. That was a that match in an empty warehouse. Yeah, that was that not a highlight of it.
Yeah,
it was that WrestleMania was unique enough that with nothing else better to do, I and some alcoholic beverages, I enjoyed myself during it. But yeah, that match was definitely one of the lowlights.
Yeah, that was not a good one.
Yeah, because then it was after that they sent Theory back down to NXT and did the way stuff. He was actually entertaining as a goofy sidekick.
He was really funny, and I do think I guess to get back to him, one way or the other, I think they need to. I'm with you that they need to sit on it a little bit. I feel like he's maybe starting to get some traction as an actual heel. But he's in kind of a weird spot, too, if he loses the match against Bobby Lashley.
Well, that's what they do with the Money in the Bank briefcase holder when they're a heel. They lose until they just cash in. And then the title
true.
ends up being a part in church.
Yeah, that forgives all sins. That is your reconciliation.
Most of the time, it doesn't work. I mean, everybody's happened that it has, but yeah, they think that they use the briefcases to get out of jail free card when it comes to a heel doing jobs.
That is true. They have made a habit out of doing that, and they really shouldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, it does give yourself a little bit of leeway with that character, I think, to maybe take a few more L's than they would have otherwise.
When Seth Rollins cashed, the night Seth Rollins cashed in, he lost to Randy Orton earlier in the night, and once again, he lost to Randy Orton, it's not the end of the world, and it set up title matches for down the line. So, something like that works out, but if they lose, yeah, well, you're not setting up title matches down the road for everybody.
So that's going to be an interesting outcome to see what they do with Brock and Roman and Theory and Lashley to a lesser degree.
And the undisputed, does the undisputed championship stay undisputed through all this as well?
I don't even know how you write that one in, because they haven't really made a point about saying, they're showing the two belts, but they're calling it the Unified Championship for the most part.
Yes.
And no one has tried to challenge just for one or the other.
No, I don't think that's the way they're doing it, but I just don't know. I just don't know if this is sustainable. I mean, especially with Roman Reigns, if Roman Reigns isn't going to be is going to take some a good chunk of the fall off, we don't know about that at all.
And I guess that's a general overall thing. And maybe that just impacts because he isn't there as much. I guess what did has he really shown up on Raw at all?
No, but I know he's gonna do the Madison Square Garden episode in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, like if you're gonna
Madison Square Garden. Yeah,
I guess, but just in a general sense, like it's one of those things that I'm okay with the unification if you get them showing up on both shows and you just have, you know, one person that maybe gets featured a little bit. You know, Roman doesn't need to be the main part of Raw. They still got 3 hours to fill, and you can definitely put Roman Reigns in there somewhere.
Oh, yeah, well, then.
So, I still like the idea in theory. Not that theory, but in theory, I like the unification idea. The implementation has been a dumpster fire at best.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I guess maybe the only way out right now is if you were to have Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, I've mentioned it before, have some kind of a spectacular stunt bump, you know, to go through something, sparks fly everywhere, and they're both unconscious at the end of, and can't answer the 10 at the end of SummerSlam. Terrible way to end a SummerSlam, mind you.
No.
And it wouldn't necessarily make sense that they both lost, but they're, okay, well, we'll just give Brock one of these belts. But it's a way to do it, I guess. If they want to get the WWE Championship back on Raw,
yeah. And the funny thing is Brock Lesnar was almost making more appearances on Raw than Roman Reigns was making on SmackDown recently there until he took his most his long hiatus here after WrestleMania.
Yeah, no, I mean it's a decent idea to keep them away from each other heading into SummerSlam, because you really don't need to do any more physical angles between the two of them.
No.
we really don't. I mean, it was great to get Brock, you know, up and running on Raw. And, you know, that was easily the highlight of Raw, and probably maybe the highlight of last week or so of WWE TV is watching Brock destroy people.
Oh man, and look effortless doing it as usual. He's just carrying around those steps like a sack of potatoes. And
steps, what about Otis?
Yeah, and the fact there are so many people that have a hard time getting fellow big guys over the top rope with a clothesline. Brock Lesnar, not much of a problem doing that with Otis there.
No, not at all. No. Brock had a running start. Otis, you know, did what he needed to do with the mechanics of that. But you know, Brock did not give him a love tap and then make Otis do all the work. So yeah, no, that was fun. That's what they need to do. They need to really, really, really hype up the brutality and the violence of this match. That's all they've got to get people excited about another match between Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. And yes, I would, and I would also do blood in this thing.
And honestly,
I think it's time. Anyway, make good work. Makes sense.
Have they had a lot of gimmick matches?
You know what?
I don't feel like they have.
I think they. They had a cage match once in Saudi Arabia, although there wasn't much to that. And beyond that, they've been in some triple threats, some four ways with each other, which are inherently no disqualification. But overall, no. I don't recall that this is gonna be their big gimmick match.
Yeah,
so they will be able to do whatever they want. All the bells and whistles will accompany them through this match. So in that respect, I could see this being one of the better matches they've had against each other. I mean, they've had really, for all the times we think of them head wrestling each other, they've only had that one great match, which was the first one.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Roman Reigns' championship reign has not really been littered with a lot of great matches. I'm not saying that they've been bad matches per se.
So many of them happened during that pandemic period. You've largely blacked out. I would say, yeah. I mean, because there was some good stuff in there. The Kevin Owens matches, there's a match with Daniel Bryan, Cesaro. But that was still when they were in front of no people. Yeah.
Fair enough. Maybe it's just been a while then since I've seen a good one out of Roman. But he's also lost a. You listed a bunch of really good workers.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's been interesting that he's kind of lost. He ran through a lot of people during that era, and then, you know, I mean, the Cena match was as good as it was going to be, and, you know, it felt big time, the stuff with Brock, you know, I mean, not necessarily the best matches, but, you know, felt big time. I mean, the Finn Balor match was a disaster at Extreme Rules last year. I don't remember what he did. And there wasn't even a December pay-per-view. I mean, the match with Big E was nothing special in Survivor Series. The Seth Rollins match at the Royal Rumble was, again, nothing special. You know, ran through Goldberg at Elimination Chamber, Brock again at WrestleMania, and then his only title defense since WrestleMania has been against Riddle. And that was a good match.
That is true.
No, I mean, so he hasn't had the chance to have the great match in a little while.
Yeah, and I honestly forgot. Jeremy would probably yell at me. I don't think I ever ended up watching that Riddle versus Roman Reigns match. I think I forgot to tape that SmackDown.
I was out of town. I've still never seen it. I just it looked good in highlights though.
Well, yeah, and that's one of those ones where I'm like, oh, man, I'm not necessarily forgetful, although that does happen. but yeah, I still didn't see that one, but he really loved it, and I feel like that was my travel weekend, so I didn't get to end up seeing that. Mm-hmm. Or by the time I had a chance to watch it, I was kind of tapped out of wrestling. Anywho, whatever the case was, I didn't end up watching that. So, yeah, I guess Reigns has had some pretty good matches. I do think that they've tended, at least the ones with Lesnar, have leaned towards that UFC heavyweight championship kind of mold that they did start with the short Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg first match. When the three, was it just the three spears did him in? I'm trying to think of what it was. A really short match there, because wasn't it? It was only like a minute and a half between Lesnar and Goldberg way back when. I think it was Goldberg first came back.
Yeah.
And I do think that with Reigns and Lesnar, they've tended to go more towards that mold of matchup, and that is a hard matchup. Like, it's something that I enjoy and I like the idea behind it.
Yes.
It doesn't necessarily make for a memorable match, though.
Well, the stuff they did with Goldberg and Lesnar with the minute and a half match that you never expected that was out of nowhere. And then, you know, the WrestleMania match ends up being, you know, arguably the best 5-minute match of all time. that you remember.
Yeah.
But you know what? But then they take these big bulls and they try to recreate it, and it just doesn't measure up. They try to do something that was just so unique and try to do it again.
Yeah, so I feel like the WWE's kind of leaned on that mold of matchup a little bit more recently, and maybe that's kind of hurt his matches, in my opinion, now that we kind of talk through it a little bit more. So that's the main event picture, I suppose. What else to talk about? Anything catching your eye with the ladies of the WWE currently?
Oh, a number of things. First and foremost, I don't know what they're doing with this Raw Women's Championship match, as we're heading into SummerSlam. I don't know why Carmella's still in the thick of things. Why didn't they just beat her? Well, that match went too long. It wasn't a bad match. But once again, I just don't buy Carmella against Bianca. You know, and I feel sorry for saying that. And I know, once again, I've said it before. You know, Carmella reads and hears the comments of on social media, and you can tell it actually hurts her feelings. And I'm sorry for that, but I just can't buy the match, a viable match between those two. And we're still in it. And you know, but Becky Lynch is involved now, but we still might not be getting the one-on-one Becky Bianca match. because we got two episodes of Raw left now.
Yeah,
to sort this out.
And there is always the hey, we like a triple threat match so that someone can take a pin, and then we can also extend one of these two feuds into another singles match.
I mean, it's very possible that they want to send Becky and Bianca to Europe with. You know, Becky getting the bulk of the cheers and, you know, putting, you know, doing the Bizarro World thing that they like to do at times when they send people to Canada or wherever, and the baby faces the Canada against a Canadian heel. Or even European. I maybe that's what they're thinking. Because I know it's in the UK, but, you know, I'm sure a lot of Irish are attending. And
that is one thing that... of all the interest that I've noted with the WWE going to some of the smaller venues recently, I don't feel like we've had a proper tour of Canada yet since the comeback of, you know, taped shows.
Yeah, I don't think they have. I think it's coming up at the end of this month. I think they're doing... You know, I think they're doing Toronto, Montreal, Ottawa... I don't know about if they're going out west to Vancouver, Calgary, or Edmonton, but I think they are doing. They're definitely hitting
the east coast of
the eastern part of Canada. Yeah, later this month, I think. I don't remember if Raw is going to be. They're going to do Raw in Toronto. They should. They should do it. All right, let's look at the schedule.
But anyway, you mentioned Bizarro World, and it just got my brain thinking about how we haven't had much of that situation recently because they haven't been touring in in other countries, honestly. And I guess I felt like they, and I could be wrong, like it just didn't seem like they were in Canada that frequently, or maybe just because it's not that era anymore that we don't quite get the Bizarro World reaction that we once used to. And I think of Montreal as no different than, you know, Chicago or something like that.
It's in August. August, there's going to be a SmackDown in Montreal and a Raw in Toronto. And then in between, they're hitting, you know, Ottawa and Quebec and, I think, London, Ontario in between.
Okay. Yep. Getting up and down the Lawrence River or thereabouts.
Yeah.
Those
have the potential to be, for pure the crowd reactions, some really special shows. I hope they figure that out and give those shows something a little more room, because being in Montreal and Toronto for the first time in like 3 years could be a pretty big deal.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, if you really want to catch that stuff live, I would hope that you'd be a little hyped up for it, and that they might put a little extra mustard on the on that show there. But anyway, yeah, Becky and Bianca in the UK could end up with that type of opposite reaction from what's happening in the US. I still think, though, that there are enough people cheering for Becky that it's hard to...
Yes, there are, because, you know what? They're not... They do all this, well, number one contender this, and these type of matches. They're not doing anything really big heat angles with, like, Becky and Bianca. And no. They haven't really since WrestleMania. Becky hasn't done anything... Hasn't done anything dastardly to anybody since WrestleMania. If anything, she's the one getting screwed over.
So yeah, she's been getting screwed over, and she kind of has not a rags to riches story, but a hard luck story at a minimum going on for herself. Bad timing and people like Asuka just trying to fuck with her.
Yeah, but if that's where things are going, once again, that kind of just, you know, makes the downplay SummerSlam considerably. It kind of shows why this attempt to do three, but then turn into two stadium shows in a row, just not an idea that they just don't have enough in the bullpen to pull it off, really. You know, a triple threat with Carmella involved, that does not feel SummerSlam worthy.
Yeah, it's not the biggest show of the summer when that's what's involved. For sure. it's kind of tough to pull off what they're trying to pull off. And even without the injuries, it would have been stretching a roster that you have intentionally pared down to make more money.
Yes, absolutely. No. This is, you know, before Cody got injured, before Randy Orton got injured, this was not a great roster. This hasn't been a great roster. It feels like the pandemic era roster was actually better than what we have now. I know so many people will probably never, you know, maybe 10 years from now, that would be a podcast or YouTube rewatch project to go back through the the empty arena year and a half and actually say, was it actually pretty good?
it could have been worse. I know that
it definitely
much.
Could have been worse. It definitely could have been worse. Fair play and salute to everyone who put their all into that. Because once again, it feels like there's not a lot of people putting their all into this 2022 WWE. It feels like a tired, stale roster that's just kind of going through the motions a lot of the time.
Because it kinda is.
Yes, yes it is. And speaking of tired and stale, Dolph Ziggler returned on Raw.
That
as a babyface.
I was so confused.
I am. Is Theory feuding with four different people now?
Yes. Well, at least three. At least Lashley, Ziggler, and John Cena, maybe, ?
I don't think that's where we're going now.
Going there now, but there's definitely been some beef recently.
Yeah, there's been beef, but there's also... Well, I was also going to count Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar as well, but...
That would be the fourth one.
Yeah, so that's... We're going to spend some time trying to reinvigorate old Dolph in 2022. It's the summer. I guess we pushed all Ziggler once every summer.
Yeah, like, that was one that I was mystified when it happened. Like, I was not in any way expecting Dolph Ziggler to be the guy to come back, and it's a weird spot to put him in against Theory, who they're ostensibly going to compare to again, I would think.
Yeah, no, there's some comparison, and Theory's already feuding with Lashley, and they already have a match announced, so it's a very, just a very weird thing. You know, of all people, to end Raw is standing notoriously. We're going with Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, and that was the other thing that was a real head scratcher about the situation. He's definitely been involved in TV for what, most of the pandemic era, honestly. Even
they did stuff with him. I mean, he got a Drew McIntyre title match, I believe, on pay per view.
Oh yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Wasn't that like that weird match? It was at Extreme Rules, but it was no disqualification. But only Ziggler could use weapons.
Oh yeah, because he kind of hoodwinked. Yeah, I think he won some match by hook and crook, and got to choose the stipulation, and that's what it
which
was.
Which actually did make sense. So why wouldn't you choose something like that?
Once again,
him and Rude, they were. Won and lost a tag team championship, I think, multiple times during that period.
Yeah, and I guess that was the other kind of strange thing about Ziggler coming out by himself. He's been so attached to the hip with Mr. Rude recently that it was a little surprising just to see him out there by himself.
Yeah, that's like, interesting. I wonder what the future holds for Mr. Rude.
I would have to say whenever his contract is up, his time with the WWE is up.
I mean, he's had a 5-year run on the main roster at his age. You don't want to see anyone lose their job. You know what? He's had a run more than a lot of people would have thought he would have had. Now, granted, should he see somebody WWE should have had 10, 15 years ago and pushed to the moon? Probably, but they didn't.
They never decided to get him out of Impact.
Yeah.
And I would have thought that during that time frame, especially the time frame, because he was in Beer Money with Storm.
Beer Money, then he got his heel run as a champion.
Okay, yeah, I was trying to remember, because it was Storm that had the tag team run before Beer Money.
With American Most Wanted, yes.
Yeah, okay.
With Chris Harris, yes.
Yeah, he was just in Team Canada.
Yeah, Rude was in Team Canada, yes.
Okay.
He was kind of the corners, both as the cornerstone of Team Canada. I don't think he ever really won anything. I don't think they never really gave him a single. He was probably couple tag champs multiple times during that point, but once again, nothing super memorable, you know. Really nothing super memorable until he hooked up with James Storm. Yeah. And that's when I think he really found himself, and really somewhere in there, you would have thought that WWE would have made a big play. And they may or may not have, but there's something that escapes me that he almost went, but Impact, but TNA had his work visa, and then it would have been a mess to clear up, and he would have had to leave the country for 6 months. Somehow that this is ringing a bell with me, but maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, I guess the funny thing about that is that time period, he probably still would have been in his early 30s, given his age, but. Yeah, I do think that the WWE would have pushed him differently in that time period.
he was excellent during that time period. Definitely.
Yeah, I still think that he would have ended up with the size issue. He's obviously very well built. He also is not even Roman Reigns size.
Right? No. And the transition to the people that Triple H was bringing in, the smaller guys, to where Rude actually looks bigger than most of them.
No.
That didn't come until a few years after that. Yeah, that didn't come until the mid part of the decade.
Yeah.
And yeah. That is when Rude did get signed to NXT.
Yeah, he came in at a perfect time frame as far as the big man to, smaller, more athletic wrestler.
I mean,
ratio was.
Rude had a good run as NXT champion. Definitely for sure. That was probably his peak of being in under the WWE umbrella.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah, he really could have done a lot worse for himself if this is, like I said, I guess that's just all speculation on my end, but given the circumstances, like, he hasn't really gotten a whole lot of TV time on his own, and yeah, it just kind of feels like that would end up being the situation, that they're just going to let him walk whenever his contract is done. But yeah, Ziggler, back kind of in some weird role in the WWE. It's a choice. Babyface Dolph is a little bit of a weird one. Anytime that your Twitter handle is heel, insert name here. It's a little bit strange when you're a babyface. Oh, man. Anything else major that needs to be covered within the WWE?
I guess not really.
Okie dokie. I think I officially know that because I watch AEW Rampage on time Friday night, usually after the wife goes to bed, that's part of the reason I don't remember it by the time we record this, because I end up watching SmackDown sometime later, usually like on a Sunday. Maybe I should wait to watch Rampage on a Sunday. But yeah, Rampage was kind of weird itself. Poor Tony Nese is in that category of, are you in a better position than you were in the WWE? No? Okay. Thanks for coming. But whatever, you're not going to have him beat Orange Cassidy.
No.
So, there is that. Anywho, yeah. Was there anything that caught you there? There's just a lot of turning on people there on Rampage this week.
Saw some of that. I did not watch the show. I've gotten out of the habit of watching Rampage after the switching around of its time slots. It just did not become a priority. I've seen the Gresham deal. Turning on Lee Moriarty, but they're going to do the Lee Moriarty match on Rampage this week.
Oh.
No idea what they do with the ROH title at Death Before Dishonor, which I'm definitely in the camp thinking Tony Khan picking up ROH for anything but the tape library was a huge mistake, because it just muddies the water so much, and it gets so confusing. All these extra belts running around. Now Gresham, who was not an AEW guy, has to be pushed on AEW TV, but they're only doing it on Rampage, which I actually thought, if you're going to do this, you might as well not clutter up Dynamite too much with the ROH stuff.
Yeah, they could do a worse job. They have tended to keep this stuff on Rampage, which is okay. It's just a lot to keep track of. And
it's confusing, and now we gotta have Mercedes Martinez and Serena Deeb have a feud and do some things on Rampage, maybe Dynamite as well. It just I don't foresee this being super successful. I think they got a lot of eyeballs on that last ROH show of the old era that Tony Khan did, was ultimately the promoter of over WrestleMania weekend.
Oh. Yeah.
But this is a different animal. This is, once again, asking people to pay $40 for what you've clearly established as the B-League.
Yeah.
Now running FTR and the Briscoes again, I think, about the best you can do, because that match was phenomenal. I don't know if you've ever seen their Super Katamarna match.
I did not.
If you can get a hold of it, certainly watch that. Although, once again, for me to spend $40 again...
just for a tag team match?
For one tag match, I'm probably not going to do that. It's asking a lot. Especially since I have a feeling at the last minute I'm probably going to talk myself into watching this player deal. The day after SummerSlam.
Oh, man.
I'd like to say no, but I have a feeling, because... All right, let's talk about that now.
Yeah, I'm fine with ending with that.
We're about 2.5 weeks away, and they haven't announced an opponent yet. I don't think they have anybody signed up. I don't know what they're going to do.
Realize that they didn't have an opponent, because I feel like I saw Conrad posting some hype.
Still hyping it. They're just focusing on Flair's last match and Flair preparing for it. In that regard, I guess they're doing a good job, for hyping that. But they don't have an opponent yet, and I'm wondering if they'll end up, they'll probably end up having to get some Joey Janela level guy, if not Joey Janela himself, because that's what Janela's doing now. He's wrestling Ricky Morton and TBS job guys on GCW shows.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I did not realize that's his gimmick now.
Yeah, so maybe it will be him, because every attempt to get an old enemy of Flair's to do it has failed, and it couldn't get Steamboat. They wanted FTR in a six-man tag, but either FTR said no themselves, or Tony Khan said no. The Rock and Roll Express were maybe going to be involved with something, but even they said no. It was never said, but it wouldn't surprise me if they went to Sting first, because it would make a lot of sense. But then Sting and or Tony Khan said no too. There was some talk of it being Hogan, but that was probably never going to happen, because Hogan would have asked for too much money, and he would have demanded to win, and his own physical health is possibly more in question than Flair's.
Yeah. Hulk Hogan has been MIA for as long as Hulk Hogan has been words coming out of my mouth, which is a long time.
The last time I think he was really in front of a crowd was, I think it was, WrestleMania in Tampa. Otherwise, he's, possibly going through his own physical calamities. And physical calamities are a big part of the reason why I think they're struggling to find somebody to be in the ring if the worst-case scenario happens.
Yeah. Yeah, I blame zero people for wanting to be in the ring with Ric Flair at his age and his condition.
The human decent part of me wants to say that I will stay away from this debacle, but I might not be able to. So if I got nothing to do on that Sunday night after SummerSlam, and I got $35 for burning a hole in my pocket. I might do it. Well, first I want to make sure the show's happening first. Because really, after the Flair deal, it's a pretty good indie super show of a mix of guys and matches.
But it's after SummerSlam though.
It's Sunday.
Oh, SummerSlam Saturday. Oh, okay.
Yeah. It'd be Sunday night about like probably 7 or 8 o'clock probably.
Okay. Eastern, yeah. I'm still probably not going to get it. I wouldn't think that. Yeah, Saturday. Oh, actually, Saturday I'll be in Disney for SummerSlam. Forgot about that.
So you'll be gone
at
that.
Okay. Yep. So I will be coming back that day. Is it the 6th?
No, it's 31st.
Oh yeah, I will be going down that day. So I will not be watching SummerSlam at all. Like I might catch some highlights on. Oh, I suppose I need to download Peacock onto my phone. But yeah, I might be able to watch some of it on the plane or at the resort or something like that at night. Yeah. But yeah, it is not going to be on the SummerSlam is not going to be on the top of my mind, and definitely Ric Flair's last match is not going to be on the top of my mind Sunday night, even if I do have the free time. So, that is wild that's still happening. That is just some craziness I think I popped onto Twitter for a little bit today, and I'm just like, holy shit, I forgot about this thing. Oh, man. Oh, boy. Yeah, I didn't want to see that then, and I still don't want to see it now. Well, are you making an appearance on the podcast, sir? Okay. Well, yeah, hi. Yeah, that's quite a meowing there that you're giving the audience. Anywho, any Bell Time beer suggestions on your end before we, as we close the show?
Nope.
Go ahead. Jeremy long ago sent me some beers that were already a little bit old. One of them was Christmas themed, so it got ticketed for Christmas in July duty. That is what is happening right now. Sugar Creek Brewing Sugar Cookie Holiday Ale.
It
is quite delicious. It kind of tastes like a sugar cookie, and I do love me a sugar cookie. And honestly, a lot of holiday ales can get a little too spicy. This, not too spicy, like not a hot spicy, but sometimes when you get all of that cinnamon and allspice and nutmeg, it can get a little spice heavy in there. And this one, because they mainly just went for, I think, just a shade of cinnamon in there, it really worked out well, and you can taste that little bit of vanilla in there too from the sugar cookie. Very good beer. Glad I saved that one for a Christmas in July beer. So, if you happen to be down in North Carolina, specifically Charlotte, go visit Sugar Creek Brewing. They are a very good brewer who happens to know our own Granny Mays quite well. So that is the suggestion from @DeFrango11. The brand is @StuntCali. The brand is @StuntGranny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.